With me tonight to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And if I may read verse 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, when I saw the Lord Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So, my title is simple, Fear Not. But these two words are in relation with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is alive. So these are indeed very significant words. They are profound. They are deep. But before even we explain more about these words, it is important to remember that Christ's life did not end at the cross. Christ's life did not end in the grave. And actually, Christ's life did not start on the earth. He is the pre-existing God. He was not created. Do you know that? Oh, many religions think that Christ was created. No, he has always existed. So, Christ did not remain neither on the cross nor in the grave. But Christ conquered death. He conquered death. And it's interesting, when you read the New Testament, I'm just limiting myself to the New Testament, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned 118 times. So, which means this is an important subject. Not even mentioning, as I said, the many, many times and so many prophecies in the Old Testament. Sometime 1,000 years before Christ has even come onto this earth. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he will be born, the way he will come into this earth, even his teaching, all has been prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened. He chose where to be born, when to be born, how to be born? This is miraculous. Nobody asked you and me where to be born. But with Christ, it's completely different. So, when you look at the New Testament, Christ's resurrection, as I said, mentioned so many times. But at least 13 times, this is the minimum, Christ, after he was risen from the dead, appeared and disappeared. He has shown himself to his disciples. There are so many infallible proofs. And these are undeniable unless we are mentally blind or actually unless we are intellectually dishonest. Because with at least 13 appearances, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples for 40 days. He ate with them. He walked with them. He fellowshiped with them. They worshiped him. And at one stage, we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 500 people have seen the Lord Jesus Christ at one time. So, for proofs, there are proofs. So, all these are historical. Men didn't invent them. They were written, and God has kept them for us in his inspired word. So, the resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone, the touchstone of our Christian faith. Do you know, when you read the book of Acts, I'm mentioning Acts because it is one of the books of the New Testament. When you read that book, every sermon in the book of Acts mentions the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, which means the resurrection of Christ is to reinforce the reality that we worship a living God. not a man-made God who is still in the tomb, whose body is rotten, who was not risen from the dead. You know, you take every so-called great man in this world. I was reading not long time ago, Lenin. When Lenin died, and later after the former Soviet Union, people will queue for 5 to 8 hours just to pass by his mausoleum in order to have a glance on his face. But it's interesting, nowadays nobody's interested into that. Gone. Gandhi, gone. Nelson Mandela, gone. You list every guru of any religion, every leader, every guide or so-called guide. If I may take just the example of Islam, they mention that in Islam you have 124,000 prophets. I don't know where they get that number from, but 124,000 prophets, but all of them gone in the graves and remain in the graves. But Christ, his tomb is empty, unoccupied, unattended. So these are real facts. We are not inventing them. They are written for us in the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, or maybe you are the first time in a church, do you know that if Christ was not risen from the dead, we shouldn't be here? We are wasting our time. But Christ is risen from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, it is said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we are the most miserable of all men. But that's not the case. That's not the case. And this verse tells us, Christ said in verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. So his resurrection is the reason why we are here. He died for us, but he is also risen from the dead to keep us, if we believe in him. Do you know why Christ came into this world? Many prophets, they came just for a message. You ask every religion, what has your prophet done to you? He came with a message. He gave us a book. But the Bible, the message of the Bible, not just Christ came as a messenger. He is the messenger, he is the message himself, that's the difference. But not only he preached the word and gave us a book, no, he gave us himself. He gave us himself. Why did he give himself to us? Oh, this is the only person in the whole world, as I mentioned earlier, this is the only person in the whole world who has chosen to come, who has decided to come. And on that cross of Calvary, he died for sinners. Do you know the name Jesus? Matthew 1:21, you shall give him the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So he came with a purpose in mind, not just to come and tell us how nice it is to go to heaven. No, but he came to tell us our real problem. Oh, the heart problem of man is the problem of his heart. Sin has disfigured us. Sin has made us to be vilain. Sin has made us to be not. It is impossible for us to fellowship with God. Sin has made us to be repulsive, far away from God. Why? Because God is holy. God is holy. He is three times holy, and there is no way for us to fellowship with him. But as we come in repentance, trusting in the work of Christ on that cross of Calvary, you know what happens to us? Oh, we receive new nature, we receive new heart, we receive new mind, even character, new conduct is given to us free of charge. Every religion will say, do this, do this. No, the Christian message is, we have, we do. We have Christ, then we do. But the religions, they teach, oh, do, then you will have. But we have Christ. He is our high priest. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the redeemer. He is the one who has reconciled us. There was a gap, a gulf, an abyssal gulf between God and us. But Christ came, oh, if I may use a feeble word here, he came to make that bridge for us to get to heaven. because our sins are so ugly, are so heinous, that there is no way for us to come and fellowship with God. Oh, I could say more there. But you can see Christ was risen from the dead. And this is what distinguishes the Christian religion than any other religion. Our Savior, his tomb is empty. But every other so-called messenger, he is still in his tomb and remains there. But when Christ comes back, there will be a general resurrection. And we will all be raised from the dead in order to stand before God for what? For God to contemplate us? No, he doesn't need us. It is appointed unto man to die once, then comes the judgment. Now, as I look at our text, there are three great statements said by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you have read this in the Word of God. In John chapter 7, it is said that there that Christ spake like no other man. This is the every word Christ, you and me, we speak many times, say nothing actually. But this is the man who every word he said, oh, is gold. So here he gives us three statements. So precious statement. Why we put those three statements? Of course, if there is any, oh, my heart is crying for somebody who has never sought. What is the purpose of life? There must be a purpose. Is it just to smile, to work, to study, to eat, to travel, to go on holidays and so? No, there is a greater purpose for life. And the purpose of life, oh, there is no greater gain. There is no greater gift from God than to live again, as I mentioned many times, to leave this building, knowing that all my sins, the guilt, you know, the guilt is breaking many people. People are listening to us. And deep down in their heart, what's going wrong? The guilt of my sins, the guilt of my jealousy, the guilt of my envy, the guilt of my mind, the guilt of my, even stealing, everything in the heart of man pollutes him. And that's why we need to be saved, we need to be forgiven. Oh, I must come to the text. In the last part of verse 17, Christ gives us the first statement. And that first statement is so important. He says there, I am the first and the last. He spoke like no other man. No other man in the 50 billion people who have ever lived on this earth, nobody could stand before the religious leaders or the crowd and say, I'm the first and the last. Well, how could you be the first and the last? You were born, let's say, in 1900. And so on. You are not the first and the last. Many have come before you, and many have come after you. But Christ could say, I'm the first and the last. But do you know this is not the first time Christ is saying this? We go back to chapter 1, verse 8, and we find the first statement Christ made there. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. This is just a digression on this verse. Jehovah Witnesses are saying Christ never said he is God. Here it is. He said it. It's Christ speaking here. He said, I'm the Almighty. He himself, the one who was, who is, and who will always be the Lord Almighty. So, and there he said, I'm Alpha and Omega. Then in verse 11, Christ speaking again, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I wouldn't turn to the verses, but in total, in the book of Revelation, five times, Christ is saying, I'm the first and the last. In chapter 21, chapter 22, he carries on by repeating the same, saying, I'm the first and the last. He was not created, he has always existed, and he will always be. That's the meaning. So Christ says, by saying he is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, he is saying, actually, I'm the whole alphabet. The whole alphabet. What does it mean? That Christ sums up all the revelation of God to men. So if you know Christ, You know all God's revelation to this human race. But why do we need alphabet for? An alphabet makes or gives a sense to languages. So in the same way, Christ gives a sense to life. Just imagine, and I know there are languages without alphabet, and believe me, there are no books in that language. People may speak orally, but there is no written text. So in the same way, without the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the A and Z, the whole alphabet, the whole revelation of God to the human race. Without Christ, your life and my life is empty. There is nothing into it. But he says, here I am the first and the last. So Christ is indispensable to make a sense of life. Christ is absolutely necessary. We could multiply and spend really the whole night just listing the so many great statements of Christ in the New Testament. If I could just mention some of them, which are equal to this statement he made here, I'm the first and the last. And you remember in John chapter 4, when he was speaking with the Samaritan woman, he said, I'm the water of life. Then in John chapter 6, he said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You need bread. Bread is a generic word for food. Just imagine how many days you can stay without food. Oh, I give you a week. That's to exaggerate. A week without food. So imagine you are 20 years, maybe 10 years old, 20, 40, 70. 70 years without bread, without Christ. You are not only hungry, you are dead. And actually, I'm using, very politely, without trying to offend anyone, I'm using the biblical terminology in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It is said, we are dead in our sin and trespasses. Dead completely. Oh, yes, you may be moving, you have the being and so on, but spiritually, before God, we are dead, and dead as dead could be. That's our spiritual state before God. And in John 8, verse 12, Christ said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so on. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He spake like no other man. No prophet has ever said such things. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in John 10 again, I'm the door of the sheep. And by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We could multiply Christ's statements on in the New Testament. But here, Christ said, I'm the whole alphabet. I'm the first and the last. I'm the Alpha and Omega. This is the self-existing God. You and me, we need air, but God, the Lord Jesus, doesn't need air. He lives by himself. He auto-energizes himself. He doesn't need anyone. People think sometimes, oh, God is bored in heaven there. That's why he created the universe. Believe me, you may be bored, I may be bored, but he's not. He's not. Because he's self-existing and self-sufficient unto himself. And by same and the first and the last, Christ claims to be eternal. He claims to be pre-existing and unchangeable. God cannot change. If Christ, before coming in a human body, was God, even coming in a human body, as Pastor was explaining to us this morning, oh, he's still God even in a human body. The world teaches us that, oh, man can become God. It's a big lie. It's a deceiving. God must come in a body. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So that's what Christ has done. The second statement in verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. So the second statement, not only he's the first and the last, but Christ is the living one. Luke chapter 24, the women went to the tomb, and you remember the angel who came to them. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Christ couldn't be there. It's impossible. The life giver couldn't die. It's impossible. Oh, he died, of course, but on the third day, we know Christ was risen from the dead. And have you noticed something? I am he that liveth. Not I was. I was that he liveth. But I am the ever-present God, the one who will always be alive. You and me, we die from the moment we are born. But the eternal Son of God, eternally alive, he died and rose again, and he is now alive forever. Why do you think Christ must die? Oh, if I could quote a verse from a hymn by Horatius Bonar, and he said, love, because of love, love brought him down from the glory. Love made him come from the sky. Love in his heart for the sinner led him to suffer and to die. Love made God to become a man and to die on the cross of Calvary for sinners like us, if we trust and believe in his precious blood. But there is a third statement made by Christ in this verse. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Unbelievable. Christ, not the devil, because most of the time we think, oh, the devil has the keys of hell, the devil has the keys of death. But the verse says that Christ holds the keys of hell. Hell is the place for souls, unrepented souls, those who have never sought and found the Lord, those who died without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And death is the place where you have the bodies of the dead. So Christ has the key. He chooses who to send into heaven, and he chooses also whom to send into hell. But he came to give us that life. The resurrected Christ has the keys. And I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that keys means authority. This is the authority. Or you have the keys of the door, the keys of the opportunities belongs to the Lord. He's the one who opens the doors of opportunities for his children, for his people. So we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrected Christ has the keys of life, the keys of death, but also the keys of eternity. All is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in control. He controls your life. He controls my life. Why? Because all authority has been given unto him. As we come to Christ in repentance, that's very important. What does repentance mean? It means I have to look unto my life in a different way. I have to look unto God in a different way. Oh, before I thought God is just somewhere there and I'm here, I can do whatever I want. But in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, I repent, which means, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, the way I looked at you for so many years, it's not the way I look at you anymore. Now I see. I understand. The light came into my heart. The light came into my mind. And I could see this is the Prince of Peace. Do you remember the names given unto the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9, verse 6? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's the names of Christ there. So as I come to him in repentance, I receive the forgiveness of my sins, and I'm renewed in my mind and in my heart, and I'm not polluted anymore. I can overcome sin. I can overcome my flesh. I can overcome the world. And even as I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, the body will die, but I will overcome death. For to be with Christ is far better, Paul says in the scriptures. So let us rejoice that Christ is the first and the last. He is also the one who liveth forever and ever. And then he has the keys of hell and of death. As I come to him, those keys are in his hand. He shall open. And one day, do you know, one day Christ will take death itself, and death will be thrown in the lake of fire. That's what Christ is going to do in the future. And there will be no death anymore. So, as I come to conclusion almost, what is our response? What should we do? And this is given, the answer is given to us in verse 17. And when I saw him, because of what Christ said to him, when I saw him, John is speaking, I fell at his feet as dead. John felt unworthy. He felt unworthy, and we should feel the same and do the same. He fell at his feet in adoration. He was so overwhelmed that he fell as dead. Christ touched him with his right hand to show him his grace and gentleness, and said unto him, fear not. talk is cheap, as they say. It's easy to say to somebody, fear not. But this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, saying to his disciple, and to you and me, if we come to him tonight, fear not. You can come. And just in my heart, there are so many things I'm afraid of, so many. Even standing before you, it scares me. But Christ says, fear not. Why? I shouldn't fear. Because if I come to him tonight, he will not say, no, not you, the other one. If I come to him, I will be received. And I could have everlasting life. I could have abundant life. I could have everlasting life. Someone else has conquered death for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life for those who believe in him. I close with three applications here. Christ says, fear not. What does it mean? Fear not is a command. This is in an imperative. Fear not, come. You come to him in repentance, trusting in his precious blood, trusting what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Oh, fear not, come. But this is also a word of comfort. You are afraid, you are thrilled, you are overwhelmed, but you can come. It's a comfort. It's a command, but also a comfort to every person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I come, I will receive forgiveness of my sins. The second thing, it's not just a command or a comfort, but fear not. If you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then tonight, not tomorrow, you know where you will spend life after death. And every religion, you can check every religion speaking about heaven and hell. You ask the people, the followers of every other religion except the Bible religion, oh, will you go to heaven? Oh, maybe, perhaps, I don't know. But Christ said, fear not, you come tonight to him, your sins will be forgiven. I repent, I trust in his precious blood. And God said, he will give me that everlasting life. And we know the most popular and well-known verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's the promise God is giving to us. So fear not. As you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will keep you safe until his return. This is a word to reassure us. I can take Christ for his word. He said it. He said it, if I come, I will receive that forgiveness. And thirdly, I can come. Fear not means trust in the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But trust also in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I listed three things there. Trust in the greatness of Christ, Trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but trust also in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Let's go back, and I close with this, I promise. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You take every religion, they sacrifice animals, blood sacrifice, but the word of God, Christ became the Lamb of God for believers. If I trust in him, he will not only love me, you see it's in the past tense, he loved me, and he will wash me, completely washed, made clean, made holy, made pure. Because remember, sin which cannot be seen even in a microscope will not enter into heaven. We must be completely forgiven. No sin will enter in heaven because heaven is a pure and holy place. That's why we need the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash us clean and to give us that hope, the hope of glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. So fear not, Christ have conquered death. Trust him. Death is not the last thing. But Christ said, I'm the first and the last. So everything must begin, continue, and end with Christ. Before anything else was, Christ the Son of God was present. So I do not need to fear the future, for Christ is always present. Will you come to Christ tonight? Come to him. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ again. We thank thee for such a great Savior who gave himself. And on that cross, he suffered on behalf of sinners, those who will trust in him even tonight. And Lord, we remember that great invitation that today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. O Lord, come and bless us together. Speak again to us and make this place a place of salvation for sinners. For Christ's sake, amen.